Welcome to our Topical Thoughts podcast series, where today we're looking at the surge in commodity prices and what this means for the region of Latin America. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by our expert today, Ricardo. Now, Ricardo, you've just put this paper out and you've called it the double-edged sword for Latin America of this surge in commodity prices. I mean, this is a region that's famous for its metals, thinking of copper from Chile, agricultural products, soybeans, I guess, in particular, and of course, oil as well. So why is this not just a win-win here? Why do you speak about a double-edged sword for LATAM?
Hi, guys. Thank you for inviting me. I think that the double hit is because in this opportunity, we have a supply chain problem that generate increase in some prices and that increase inflation. We have, of course, as you mentioned, a lot of commodity export here that will benefit from that, but the increasing prices will more than compensate that benefit from the production. And in this sense, the difference that we have between the countries where, for example, we have Colombia that is quite intensive in oil export, they will benefit for that because they not only export but also produce internally what they needed. But in any case, the increase in gasoline price and in energy prices would affect the production and would affect the economy, not only in Colombia but also in all of the countries that in the rest of the region, they are mainly net imports of oil.
So the fact that these other commodities have gone up a lot, it's just a case of that, oil has gone up so much more. And of course, that's impacting the domestic economy. So it's really from, I guess, an inflation perspective at a time where the economies already have high inflation and I guess a squeeze in real income. Is that the biggest concern right now?
Yes, absolutely. The inflation was already high in LATAM, significantly above the target for the different central banks. The central banks are also tightening aggressively, and now you have these additional shocks that put more concern in terms of the economic activity for the region, particularly for the impact that the prices should have in the disposable income for households. And also in this opportunity, which is also something different that we have in the past, the increase in prices comes from a supply effect rather than for a demand effect. We are not seeing an increase in demand of commodities such as we see, for example, in the early 20s in China. That's not going to happen on that opportunity. The increase in prices is because we have a lack of production on commodity in the world or because we have a supply chain restriction that do not allow to the producer to have the enough commodity for them.
So I guess, as you say, I mean, when we think back to the super cycle in commodities, and I guess that was from 2000 to 2014, I mean, that was a massive benefit to the region. But from what you're saying, again, that was demand driven. This was the huge investment China was making in terms of infrastructure investment, the building of structures that had the benefit for all of those years of leading to higher prices through the demand side. So effectively what you're saying is that This is not the start of a super cycle, but is it the start of a period that can lead to Latin America improving the growth dynamic? Because I guess trend growth has been slipping continually for some years now.
Yes. This is we don't see that as the start of a new super cycle, and the benefit will not be larger than we saw in the past. When we have the super cycle, we have a significant increase in fixed investment in the region, and fixed investment actually was the main driver for this uptrend growth that the region faced for those years. Remember that during this period, the LATAM growth above 3%, but if we are going to the current period, it's growing fairly almost below trend, and actually we're not seeing a positive change in the trend for the coming year. Actually, if you review the different outlook for Latin America, we are seeing that the economic activity actually is reducing for the next year because of the global outlook deterioration that we are facing. So to answer your question, we are not expecting that this increasing commodity prices should lead a significant increase in economic activity in the short term in Latin America. Of course, it should help because allows to the resilience of the countries to try to compensate all of the problems that we have for the global environment, but it will not be able to support a new increase in trend growth as such we saw in the super cycle.
So what do we need to see, Ricardo? I guess, you know, the current issue about supply, I guess, whether it's, you know, countries and companies, users of these commodities, it seems that there has been a real warning now where they need to increase their supply channels, diversify the countries where they're getting raw materials. So on the one hand, that sounds that, you know, LATAM could benefit for some time yet. But is it investment that's needed? And how do these economies need to reposition to have a better, more sustainable growth dynamic?
I think LATAM has one important characteristic, that he's quite rich in natural resources broadly. You see a lot of agriculture in Brazil, gas and energy also in Argentina, metals in Chile, energy in Colombia. So you have a quite broadly space for improvement. But for benefit from this change of the foreign trade flows that could happen in the future, we need that the fixed investment increase in our region. And for that, it's really important we see that the business environment improve. Today, we have a lot of uncertainty in Latin America from the political space. You have in Chile, you have the new constitution that is writing. It could lead for a more uncertainty regarding the some companies are delaying investment projects because you don't know how it'll change the rules for the next years. We also have in Brazil a lot of uncertainty. We have quite close to a new presidential election. So probably Lula will be elected as the next president in Brazil again. So the question here is, he will be more pragmatic in terms of the market decisions? He will be more market friendly? Apparently, yes, because he was in the past. But there is a lot of uncertainty. In Mexico, you have that the government is pushing some structural change in terms of the energy market, trying to benefit the local companies rather than benefit the foreign investment, and also try to keep these old ways to produce energy instead of trying to invest in more friendly environmental energies that should happen. And finally, in Argentina, you have a tremendous opportunity from being one of the most important gas producers in the region. But again, we need to invest for that. And you have a government that is not necessarily market friendly in that country. So if we improve the business environment, definitely this is going to be a great opportunity for LATAM for use the natural resources that we have and provide with that for the different parts of the world.
So Ricardo, from what you say, is it's a case of making hay while the sun shines, because this isn't necessarily going to be a very long-lasting super cycle, as we alluded to. But if you do look forward in the next sort of 2 or 3 years, are there any countries within the region that really stand out as having the most potential?
I think that if we suppose that the price remain at the current level and the oil prices and energy prices remain under pressure, on that environment, probably Colombia will be one of the candidates for be the winners on that. Also, Brazil, considering the huge production of food in sugar, in grains, all of the soft commodity that have increased significantly prices during the last couple of months, they're going to be also one of the potential winners. And on the other side, who we think that could be the loser, it's Mexico. Just considering the commodity part of that, they are a net importer of oil. The main trade partner for Mexico is the United States, but they do not export commodities to the United States. They export mainly manufactured goods. So in that sense, Mexico probably is not the most important winner for that, and actually is in the last places. And finally, Chile, copper price increased significantly, almost doubled since the worst part of the pandemic. But now copper price is again below $4, so it's a lot of pressure there. If the Chinese economy continue to decelerate, that probably the demand for copper, at least in the short term, will remain under pressure. We expect that the Chinese economy start to recover in the second part of the year. So probably it's going to be a good support for copper price. Also, all of these electric vehicles should support copper price in the medium term. But at least for the next 1 or 2 years, the country will remain under pressure, mainly for the lack of domestic investment that you have. And also, if the oil price continue to be high, inflation will continue to be high, central bank will continue to tighten, and the consumption will be suffered during the coming months.
Ricardo, thank you very much. As always in this fascinating region, very idiosyncratic, always so much to discuss and to say. Remember to all our listeners here that to get regular updates of what Ricardo's seeing, of course, in our publications, our weekly or monthly, and various topical papers that we have coming up, always available on zurich.com/MSME. So thank you again, Ricardo.
Thank you, Guy.